he's like, I had some great times there. And he went over some of the stuff that was planned and some that didn't work and this and this. And then he goes, you know, it's hard to be upset because, you know, I guess that's where he met his wife too. And then he was going over like some of the dirt sheet stuff. He's like, yes, I did ask to go back to NXT. And Vince said, I want to do this first. If it doesn't work, then we'll send you back to NXT. He said Vince was really behind him, actually. And someone goes, where were you for 2 months? And he goes, the creative didn't have it, but Vince was always on my side. And I'm like, there's some bullshit there. But, like, why are you being nice? You know what I mean?
That's the part that's kind of weird to me. Like, you don't need to be fuck them for me to feel better about it. But you weren't on TV for 2 months.
Yes. He got moved to SmackDown and disappeared. He was never on SmackDown until these started airing again.
Yeah, like, you know, there's nothing positive about, like...
No.
And there's no way that Vince was behind that and it didn't get on TV. And yeah. why... The other thing that just... It just struck me as weird. I'm like... I'm sorry, you're still not employed any longer. Like, I'm assuming that many of these people that were not getting TV time are kind of fine with it because there's just more options out there now than there were when a lot of these people signed, honestly. You know, and he's definitely one of them where I guess I had never seen one of his indie matches, but he definitely seemed to have a reputation well before the WWE. And not to say that he's necessarily going to go back to that, but that's the part that I guess I do get about him talking the way that he is. There, you know, he's going to bounce back and it's not going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah. I get the feeling he'll be in New Japan. I guess Tommy End now. I'm assuming he's going back to being Tommy End. So.
Oh.
Okay. I mean, right. Even Will Ospreay put a picture up of the two of them from way back.
No.
And it's like, hey, Will, you better heal up first. And then, you know, let's go from there. But,
yeah, how about you stay on the roster for more than a month at a time?
Yeah. So, no, I was looking at other wrestlers' reactions on Twitter. I don't really get on here much, but some of them they're cool. Like some are encouraging, and others, like Brian Cage, is like everyone talking about match that can be made after WWE releases. I'm over here just wanting Del Sol. I guess Fuego Del Sol, which is kind of funny.
Oh. Lee,
which I guess is Keith Lee, but he didn't get released. And then End, Tommy End. So, I don't know. Everyone on that list is going to be absolutely fine. Which makes it even more bizarre to me that these are the releases. And... I don't know. Are we recorded? I don't even know.
Yeah, once you really started to dive into, right when you started about Tommy End, Aleister Black, whatever you want to call him, talking on Twitch.
We'll go ahead and introduce the show for a change then, since we're now 45 minutes into it.
yeah, you were talking, you, Jeremy Mays, were talking about that. This is Kevin DeFranco.
Hey, this is, what Stunk Already audio is this? We even know
664.
Well, all right. You know, yeah, I'm going to do the hack thing. I'm not on the next show. I'm definitely on the one after that. So
I have been looking forward to 666 for, like, it didn't, it dawned on me when I did 659. I'm like, holy shit. I was like, we're this close.
Yeah, how weird. But like, we should do a theme, like talk about like all the best devil wrestlers or evil wrestlers, some stupid shit. Whatever.
Oh then, I could only wish to have my Hell in a Cell logo done by then. I don't think it's going to be in the offing, but we we'll see if I can pull it off.
Okay. But yeah, so I'm actually trying to find the ratings. The Raw rating just came in.
Yeah, not that we are so focused on the ratings here in Stunt Granny, but
like,
yeah,
nobody else is. So, but yeah, but of all, like, everyone who got released today is gonna be fine, especially him, because let's be realistic, not everyone's going to AEW.
Oh,
you can't. But, like, the only one I can honestly see is Lana,
for the
obvious reason. So.
Yeah, why that gimmick, why the WWE decided to blow up that gimmick is beyond me, honestly.
Well, okay. It,
not that they can still do that necessarily, like, they've really got to modify what they do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, there's, okay, this is such a big topic with so many different points of interest, like, just these releases alone. I guess that's why this is bizarre to me. All right, so Murphy, listen, hell of a wrestler. They were never going to use him again. He was goddamn Mysterio's daughter's boyfriend. What was her name?
Leah.
Aaliyah. Where the hell'd she go?
Murphy got stiffed more times than any other person. Like, it was crazy how many times it's just like, oh, it looks like he's getting a push, and then he'd get kneecapped. And that was just the most recent one, because when he joined with Seth Rollins, it's just like, all right, they're really going to get behind Murphy this time. He's going to be Rollins' right-hand man. And then he did nothing but lose and get berated by Seth Rollins.
Until he beats Seth Rollins when Rollins goes to SmackDown. Only to follow to SmackDown again.
And join back up with him in short order after being mad at him for, like, three
and
weeks.
And then turn on him again. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Like I said, there's so many different points in this that it's trying to stay focused. Like, I'm not even drinking this time. So, all right, who else was there? Murphy, obviously, I will gander New Japan. AEW is not a fit just because they don't need another wrestler. I mean, and that's something that needs to be discussed too.
For
God's sake. They've brought in Mark Henry as a trainer and an announcer, but the way he made it sound is he still has gas in the tank. And Vince wasn't going to use him, so he left. Well, it sounds to me like he wants to wrestle. So, okay. I mean, maybe he can work with Hobbs. I mean, in a positive way, because Hobbs needs it. He's in his 20s, I think. Like, early 20s.
Yeah.
Going into the ring with Mark Henry?
I'm not sure I want to see a Mark Henry match.
Mark Henry's best matches are when he's in there with another guy, and they could just beat on each other.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't really need to move at all.
No, I mean, just remember that match? It was years ago, so probably not. It was him and Sheamus. I think it was when the world title was still around. And they beat the hell out of each other. And it ended, I think, in a double DQ or something. And I was like, this match is awesome. Like, no one expected it, but it was great.
No.
And then he has his moments. As a character, I mean, we talked about it probably tons of times. As a character, when Mark Henry says he's going to, you know, the song says someone's going to get their ass whipped.
Yeah.
The way they presented him, he comes out, his back takes up the entire arena. You're like, holy shit. Yeah, he is. So, and I know he's lost like 50, 60 pounds, something like that.
Oh,
so
good
he's much
for
smaller,
him.
But, you know, 60 pounds on that giant frame.
I'm sure he's still bigger than most men.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like,
especially
like,
on
more weight than that, by the way. But
especially still, on AEW's roster, like it is not. And not that the WWE is the land of the trees, because well, we can get to one of the trees that got tossed out in this group, but. AEW still really only has, I mean, when Billy Gunn is one of your top big men, your list isn't very long for big men. Like Hobbs is one of them. What's his name? Lance Archer is another. I don't know if I really want to throw Miro on that list.
Well, he's a big guy, but I think he's only like 6'2".
Yeah.
Which, of course, you know, still tall. But we're talking like not Lance Archer size. Brody Lee, unfortunately.
He
was one of the big ones. Cesar Bononi, which I know he's kind of a job guy, but he is a big guy.
That is true.
So, I don't really know who else. Like, I know there's some obvious ones we're going to miss. But it's like they need the – if they're going to try and get bigger, which it does appear like some of these signings they are, that having a Mark Henry or Big Show is a good idea. And even Brian Cage I know is only like 6 foot tall. But he just looks so massive, and he should wrestle like a big guy just because of that bulk he's got. God's sake. You know, you got it. You might as well, you know, use it.
Yeah. Well, he does not feel like that's necessary.
Yeah. So,
and I'm sure that at this point, more than one person has suggested that to him.
Yeah.
And it hasn't really changed his wrestling style at all.
Yeah, I like Brian Cage, though. I don't know. There's something about him I like. I'm hoping that this stuff with Taz and that means he's not going to be the FTR champion. Whatever, dumb garbage. But anyways, it's not about them. Let's see, Murphy, Heidi Lovelace now, but, Ruby Riott, which is not a surprise. I've never gotten this out of my head, but Chris mentioned, this is years ago, we were talking about Ruby Riott, and he goes, do you think, like, Vince knows she's in WWE? Like, basically, that Vince would look and go, who hired her? Just because of the way she looks.
Oh, right.
You know, and that's always stuck with me, so that, like, her not getting pushed or, you know, being treated, I wanted to say fairly, but she was never given just due outside of NXT.
They gave her a couple of nice, hang-in-there, tough losses against champions.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Charlotte at the time, but that's the best that she got, essentially, because her and Liv Morgan seem ticketed for the tag team championships at some point, but, I mean, the WWE has just screwed the pooch on the tag team division, the women's tag team division altogether.
Well, it's been pointed out that now that Ruby Riott's gone and Lana's gone, there are only two legitimate teams left for the women. And then one are the tag champs, Natalya and Tamina. And the other is Mandy Rose and...
Dana Brooke.
Thank you. That's it. But I'm guessing everyone thinks that Baszler and Nia Jax are breaking up now. But... I mean, just think about that.
I've definitely advocated Baszler and Jax to be separate. I still don't really understand what the hell's going on there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still lost as to why Reginald is still the center of the women's division, even though we have, you know, Alexa Bliss involved now. Like, mystified. But anyway, I honestly, I had thought about the tag team from the Ruby Riott standpoint more just because Liv Morgan is the only one standing from the Riot Squad now?
Yeah, I mean, think about that. Liv Morgan, who disappeared from TV for no reason for months. They came back with these, like, you know, living, what was it? Living Out Loud or something, where she's, like, in a bathtub and all that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she's back with Ruby Riott, which I actually thought at the time was kind of a goofy story. But as it went on, and you saw, like, Ruby, like, and the way it turned out to where Ruby was actually, you know, remorseful, explained her actions and all this, and they got back together, it was like, wow, that was actually a pretty good story. Out of the blue, of course, but it worked. So it's like, okay, put the rocket on him. Let's go. And, I mean, at WrestleMania, it got changed. It was supposed to be Liv and Ruby versus Baszler and...
and Jax.
Yeah. But they changed it. So, and they were supposed to lose to him, too. Just like, I can't remember. Who the hell did they face anyways? Was it Tamina and Natalya?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, because, Tamina and Natalya won them in a match subsequent to WrestleMania.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, like,
but no,
a month later or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's 3 weeks. But with
Ruby Riott, Heidi Lovelace, I believe was her indie name. I think she'll be fine. I know everyone says AEW. I think Impact is a good spot for her.
AEW's women's division has improved a great bit. I still think that it's not very fleshed out, though, as a whole. Because I just know about Hikaru Shida that she's been champion for 377, or was champion for 377 days, or whatever the final count was. Like, I don't think she's a bad wrestler. I don't think she's a terrible promo from the times they've been giving her the mic, but I don't know anything about her personality.
No, and I think the pandemic kind of got in the way. Because I know Rio got stuck in Japan. And then I don't know.
But I mean, there was, other than Britt Baker, I don't know anyone's personality, though, in the women's division. Like, it's improved in ring, for sure. But I, like, what's her name? Who's with Vicky Guerrero for no reason. Who never should have. Nyla Rose. Like, I don't really know anything about her. You know? Other than that she's with Vicky Guerrero.
For some reason. Because Nyla Rose can talk just fine.
Yeah, like, it's not like Sheeta's the only woman that I have no idea what she does. Or, you know, what her personality is. Like, Chris Statlander, I guess it's great that she's back, but... that's more of just a gimmick. It's not a personality.
Yeah, the boop thing, she's the alien, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, okay, I don't know. I was hoping they would have dropped that stuff. What the fuck is going on outside? No, there's like two explosions.
Oh.
And I can hear, like, it's loud enough I can hear them over my headset.
Stuff going down in Charlotte here.
Well, my app hasn't gone off yet. It was going off today. So, we had three hit and runs, two women wielding knives, which is an everyday thing.
No.
And I mean the wielding knife stuff. At least once a day, woman armed with knife making threats.
Oh, I guess it's a popular way to make threats, huh?
I was just like, what the hell?
Maybe they think they're not going to get in trouble because it isn't a gun.
I guess your chances of getting shot are still pretty good, though. You know? So,
if the other person has a gun, you're pretty screwed.
Okay, so there is a little section of like rough weather. Okay. Oh yeah, coming right for us. Fucking cool. All right. Anyways, sorry about that. No, it was honestly that distracting. And I let one go. I'm like, oh, that's weird. And then the second one went. I was like, what? But I think
Oh.
Impact's women's roster could use her.
Yeah,
One, a
we,
veteran.
yeah.
So, who else? I lost my list of people who got released.
Well, I mean, we really only have one left. Well, two left. Santana Garrett is.
She was supposed to get called up.
It,
So,
yeah, it was really weird. She got used a little bit in NXT, and then. Did she have a match out of the blue against Charlotte on the main roster?
yes, out of the blue, yes.
And I kind of was like, oh, so she's on the main roster now? And then she was never seen again, I don't think.
No. Maybe an eight, almost said AEW. Maybe a NXT appearance, but nothing. So yeah, it just I never it never seemed like even in NXT it never seemed like she got a shot.
Oh.
She'd show up. I think she. I remember a few wins, but most of the time it was like Santana Garrett. Crowd went crazy. She lost. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, she definitely at best was 500 in NXT.
Yeah, at best.
At best.
Yes. So then, Aleister Black, we started with Tommy End. He'll be absolutely fine. Probably thrive outside of there, because I think if you're smart enough.
Oh.
That, and I mean like the individual performer, if you're smart enough, you learn a lot from WWE, both what to do and what not to do. And if you're smart enough or good enough, you take that knowledge and you go somewhere else and you thrive. I mean,
I do think that that's another reason why, he wasn't really trying to completely motherfuck them. You know,
okay,
like
yeah.
I do think having at least been through something similar somewhat recently, be it pandemic related, myself, having been cut from one company, there are definitely some things that I learned on that job that have made my now job much easier. So yeah, it definitely sucks. Like you never want that to happen, but yeah, he can bounce back from it and he can learn from it, you know,
Yeah.
if he learned anything in the WWE, and I'm sure he did.
Oh, I would have to gather, especially doing a lot of wrestlers say they do live TV. They learn a lot about live TV from that. Like
Oh.
positioning and ring, all that sort of stuff. Because that's what WWE's really big on.
Yeah.
Which is why you always get the goofy, oh, gotta make sure I'm looking right at the camera when I'm pinning somebody. Which is the worst because you see like old footage of WWE matches going back to WWF. No one cared. The Rock did the fucking people's elbow with his back to the camera. Remember how they used to drive us nuts? Turn around, and he just didn't care. But
Yeah, and people still went nuts, so
yeah,
it wasn't
and
that
that's
much of
the
a
thing.
problem.
I kind of dig it because it was the people's elbow. Well, the people are in front of him, not a camera.
Oh.
You know, I don't know if that's his reasoning or not, but it made sense to me. So,
It
but
sounds
no.
like solid logic.
Yeah, but it's like Tommy End, he'll be fine, especially with, if his wife wants to come back into wrestling. If
Well,
she
that
doesn't.
definitely does cut out. I felt like I had seen the rumor posted somewhere that she was possibly going to come back to the WWE.
Supposedly training at the PC. Yeah, I read that too.
I think we can kill that noise.
I mean, how do you. Like, Miro left of his own accord. He just didn't have his contract renewed. Okay. Lana decided she was going to stay. Cool. You can work in two different spots. you know, most couples do.
Oh, but right.
To have, like, Jerry Lawler famously walked out when Kat was getting fired. I can see that, but it's like, you're firing my wife? Like, why? It's like, well, I guess the circumstances there, it was behavioral, whatever. Doesn't matter. But he left with her. Trinidad gets fired, and Aleister Black stays. So it almost, to me, seemed like she wanted out anyways. And he supported her, but then understood. It's like, well, you're breaking the company policy. Like, there's that adult part to you.
Oh.
But.
Yeah.
Man, I'd have a hard time sticking around if they came up with some stupid-ass policy that they're trying to take your money that you're making on the side that has nothing to do with your contract. And it's telling you you can't do it anymore, even though you're an independent contractor. And she rightfully stands up for it and says, no, I would have had a hard time staying. I mean, if I did stay, I'd have a total lack of respect for everyone that's like in management. So I probably should leave. So
yeah, that's fair enough.
I know he doesn't want to motherfuck him, but there's got to be some of that there.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you it's fired there. My wife for this bullshit. And this goes into the brawn part. When you have a company that's making, what is it, $1 billion a year from Peacock or something? Isn't this something idiotic like that? Or they're making $5 billion overall?
Yeah, you know? It's something crazy.
So think about this. WWE came up with this policy that you can't do Twitch or YouTube channels and all this because reasons. Because the wrestlers are making more money and increasing that, like, their bargaining position when it comes to contract time, right?
Oh, right.
That's how I looked at it. Like, well, if you're making, $1 million off Twitch, I don't know if that's correct or not, but why the hell would I accept any less when I know my name now is bringing in this much on my own outside of WWE.
Yeah, and I mean, part of their argument, and it is correct, that even if you were going by your real name, you are definitely benefiting from being a WWE superstar.
Yes. Like, I follow Rosemary on Twitter. No, I'm sorry, Twitch. I can't remember what her real name is, though. And it was hard to find. So there is that, but she's got thousands of followers just because she is, you know, Rosemary. Well, that can turn into some major shit. So even under your real name, you're still going to make a decent living doing that stuff. You know? So, but, but it's the idea that one deal is getting you $5 billion with a B dollars. And you're getting mad at some wrestler making $50,000 on the side.
Yeah,
enough to fire somebody. When you find out like how much some of these people are getting paid after, you know, their contract negotiations, whatever. That's your contract. That's on you. You know? Oh, there's my crime app. And yeah, it's totally again, let's see. Oh, fuck. Those were gunshots.
Oh.
Okay. Down the street.
The intrigue right. builds.
Well, I'm going to try and do this with my headset on. I'm going to be closing the doors of the house. So, that is literally four houses down.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. That one's hitting a little close to home today.
Yeah. City limit, motherfuckers.
Jesus Christ. It's honestly, it's probably someone's car backfiring because we have one guy in this neighborhood that his car backfires all the time. But it was so goddamn loud.
Someone thinks it's a shot.
Dude, I'm sorry to be sidetracked with this, but yes, every so often we'll hear fireworks. And yes, I think we talked about this before. Yes, it's noon on Wednesday. I understand. Those are bottle rockets. They have firecrackers. I don't understand why they're shooting them off at noon on Wednesday. Doesn't make any sense. You can't see them. But that's what it is. Everyone hear gunshots? No. Calm the fuck down. Anyways. That's a real thing, too. So, but,
yeah, haven't heard them that early in the day.
Dude, it can be it's coming up. School's going to be out. And we live, all right, so where we're at, across the street is, I don't know, it's lower income housing. I think it's what we're supposed to call it now. Doesn't matter. It's not a reflection of the people that live there, but that's what it's over there.
Yeah.
And we always, like during the summer, we always hear music. There's always parties. Doesn't matter what time of day it is. But it's very respectful. Ends about 11, so that's nice. Always shooting off fireworks. And I remember moving into this house and seeing, like, we're on, like, our Facebook neighborhood group. Can you believe people are doing this? I'm like, what kind of boring-ass neighborhood do you want to live in? So we hear music playing, people being happy. Food smells pretty good, whoever's cooking. And you're going to complain about this stuff? Get the fuck out of here. Like, no. It doesn't go on to all hours of the night. Stop it. Ugh. Anyways.
I could use less fireworks from time to time, but...
Huh?
I could use for less fireworks from time to time. Other than that, I've got no issues.
Oh, wait. They were shooting off on Memorial Day, which I think is becoming an actual thing now, which is kind of weird. July 4th, the week of July 4th, forget it. They're going off every day. It's hilarious. I'm like, this shit's expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So, no one cares. But no. So one TV deal, which I know is like basically they sold the network or sold the rights of the network to NBC for Peacock for $5 billion, right? And then you already have the TV money deal for USA, Fox for SmackDown, whatever international deals they have, you're making money just off that. Then you have your merchandise stuff. Now they're cranking up the live events. Like they have a live event coming here. I ain't going. Man, chance in hell I'm going to that. Which I probably should, because that'd probably be a lot more fun than anything they're putting on TV. But
well, like, that is still going to be the interesting part to some of this equation, to see what does happen when they hit the road again here.
Okay. You know they're expecting sellouts, right?
Yeah.
I think they're going to be totally disappointed. And especially after this, too. Like, Braun was a draw. Sorry. He had a big fan base. People loved him. So, which I know we keep teasing, we're getting to that one, but it all ties together. Like, just to finally get to him, which will go back to the live event part, too. Braun, from the time he showed up till now, has improved 1,000 times. One of the most marketable guys they have, one of the few giants they have, but I guess almost has taken his place, which if we get a chance, we can talk about him. But it makes no sense to release him unless he wanted it, unless he did something wrong that's unforgivable, which, you know, WWE's, you know, whatever. But the idea that people are floating out that, one, WWE's for sale, okay, possibly. Two, that this Nick Khan guy is trying to, you know, streamline the roster and streamline WWE to make it more attractive for a buyer. So if that's the case, Murphy, all these people, even Aleister Black makes sense. Even though you're just using them on TV, I understand that. These guys make sense, because if you want to trim your roster fat, fine. And I don't want this to turn into a game of, well, this person should have gone anyways, but – or these people should have gone instead. But you don't release one of your most marketable stars. Like, how does that presentation work? Well, this guy drew us $10 million last year, but we released him. Well, why'd you release him? Because we did. because his base contract was too much. Oh, how much was it? He was making, I think, $1.5 million a year. And you just made $5 billion off of the Peacock deal? Yeah, yeah. So a guy that could potentially draw in 10 that costs you $1.5 million, you released even though you're sitting all this money. Yes. Okay? It doesn't make a lick of fucking sense. Like, no offense to Murphy, I'm using numbers that I don't know are real.
No.
$500,000 a year they pay him, and he draws in 502. You know, okay, yeah, I can see. Yeah, not necessary. Gotta go. But this idea that they're streamlining the roster to sell doesn't make sense to me. When you're releasing top guys, and that's what Braun is, regardless of people's feelings about him, he was a top guy.
He's one of those guys that it's so weird because everyone in this category, or everyone that's been released, has been screwed over by creative at one time or another.
Yes.
You know, Lana's been lost since Miro actually even before that, honestly.
Yeah, it's been a disaster since she signed.
And the thing with Naomi, you could say that it's worked out, but it hasn't really worked out.
Well, here's the thing, like, not to cut you off there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it was working, but at least they were trying.
They were trying. You know?
They had matching outfits. They were both glowing. They were both sliding. They were doing all this. And yes, I understand that's minimal, but they were still trying to turn this partnership into something legitimate.
Yes.
So, anyways, that's all I want to say.
But, you know, we already accounted for Murphy, Riot, and Aleister Black. Mm-hmm. Braun Strowman is 100% in that category.
Yeah.
Like, the only other guy that I can think of that has been screwed over that much in booking perspective has been Roman Reigns. And they screwed up Roman Reigns for I don't know how many years straight, like 4 straight years. And then finally got it right and finally gave him the big win that he needed, and they've pushed him to the moon ever since. Of course, it probably helps that it seems like he's likely to head to greener pastures like some others before him, so that might be giving them a little bit of incentive to put him on TV. Yeah, but Braun, yeah, I think he could bounce back from all of the bad creative, but I guess he's better off being somewhere else. Like,
okay. It seemed weird when they had that triple threat match, right? Because didn't it just kind of come out of the blue? Like, why the hell are they having Braun, Drew, and Bobby Lashley? Like, what? But you're like, okay, well, like you said, they've messed up his booking so much. I mean, remember when he was tearing sets down and all this stuff and then losing to Lesnar when he should have won?
Well, yeah.
Just one thing after another, and to the point where he actually, like, confronted McMahon. We're like, what the hell are you doing? And Vince was like, well, I'm trying to save you for the future. Well, it's clearly a lie. It's a clear lie. Because now there is no future. Unless he comes back. Well, you fired me once, because apparently this is all in rumored, whatever. But it's like, okay, so you fired me because you signed me to a contract that was worth more than you think I'm worth now? Go fuck yourself. Like, no, that's you. Then you were a bad businessman, which I'm guessing is maybe the guy before Nick Khan took over, you know, like his people, but. I don't know the inner workings enough. I don't pretend to know it. But I know if you sign me to a contract and all of a sudden you go, I don't like the contract. Well, then that's your goddamn fault.
Oh.
Just like in any sport.
Yeah.
Which I guess you can cut people, okay. But then, doesn't that make the other people go, I'm expendable? Like, especially in WWE. You are, I mean, if you can get rid of Braun Strowman, anybody can go. Like, Roman, no, they're not going to do that. I don't think they do that with Seth.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can go.
Okay, what happened? All right, honestly, think about it.
Because
this.
I'm trying to think of, I don't know who else to kind of, like, to kind of piggyback a little bit on the Roman Reigns is the only guy I can think of that's been screwed over more times in the main event. Like, I'm trying to think of someone who has been that poor, who else has been booked as poorly as Braun Strowman over, you know, maybe say the last 2 years.
Because it is
still crazy that him winning the world title last year at WrestleMania was the beginning of his downfall. Like, yeah, that
in
is
front of no one when he was the runner up, you know, because Roman wasn't there.
Yeah, like that is still wild that went over. It was over Goldberg, wasn't it?
Yes, because Goldberg gave him like 18 spears, or be dead serious, 5 spears. I think he had to give him 3 of the running power slams.
Oh.
So he was still making this 55-year-old guy look like he was unbeatable, which I guess, you know, it's part of the deal. Pay the respects, but...
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have a choice in that matter. Like, that is squarely in the booking department. Or the agent department, one of the two. That is, I would say, largely out of Braun's hands.
But no, like even this Shane McMahon feud that he won, thank God he won. Because didn't this seem like a perfect WWE? Well, now let's let the bad guy win. So he throws Shane off the cage, cutting promos, like the best promos he's ever cut, but no one saw it because it's on Raw Talk. But they were awesome. They were passionate and real, and it was like, you call me stupid. I've been called stupid all my life. I'm going to hurt you. I was like, oh, shit. Like, he's really going to hurt him. And I even had some friends who know I watch wrestling somehow saw that. And like, is that Braun Strowman guy really angry at Shane? I'm like, I don't think so. But yeah, that sure seemed like he was. Oh, because it was real. It wasn't written. And that's the other funny thing. You don't notice how they get rid of wrestlers like crazy, but they still have 40 fucking people write this trash. 40. To write what? 17 Nia Jax segments with Reginald? Like, ugh.
Yeah, I don't know on that front. Like, because I feel like they cut the art department and the digital department in half, essentially, the other week. Along with this, just at this point, just laundry list. Like, I feel like it's been years that we've gone without this level of a bloodbath as far as talent getting cut goes. And I mean, it is wild when you need and you produce this much talent that you do feel the need to streamline it all.
Yes, and that's where we can go back to this. Like, WWE, for how long has had this bloated-ass roster? Look at Raw. Look at all the people they still don't use. And now, I guess they're slowly trimming them away. But it's the same damn thing every week. Now, I know we were going back and forth about the RK-Bro thing being cool. But I actually do legit like that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Even though Riddle is only 6-7 years younger than Randy Orton, but he acts like a 10-year-old, which of course makes the gimmick funnier. But I just like the idea that Randy, like, Pete Dunne's like a surly guy. Randy Orton is just the definition of surly guy. So, and then Riddle being amped up to like this doofus pothead guy really works so well. And I...
Well, and I do think that at least in these segments, they've made him less stupid. Like, yeah. Like, there is definitely a fine line between stoner guy and just so dumb that you're surprised that the guy can put on a pair of shorts. Or trunks or whatever he wears. I don't know. Wear boxer briefs, I guess.
Yeah, I guess they'd be trunks, though. Yeah, no, I guess they'd be like board shorts, wouldn't they?
Board shorts, yeah. Because he definitely has a little bit longer of a leg than just traditional trunks. But, they're shorter than even... Yeah. The boxer briefs. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
but no. Yeah, it's it's like to release someone like Braun Strowman, like Drew McIntyre could go in a heartbeat, Lashley could go. I think there's very few untouchables. I honestly thought Braun was one of them. He's marketed all over the place. He does appearances still, like when you can. But after releasing someone like Braun, who's to say? All right, if Sheamus loses the title on Monday night, just for example, I would immediately go, uh-oh, there goes Sheamus. That would be my first thought. And I know he's in a feud with Humberto Carrillo and Ricochet now. But my first thought is, he's gone. And I'm just using this as an example. And if I'm backstage, I'm like, I'm not untouchable. Like I know you're not supposed to think that way, but goddamn, is there whatever happened to job security? Like I signed the contract. I mean, I'm in this these plots, these stories, angles, whatever. And they just go, all right, we don't have anything for you, so take a few weeks off, recover. Cool. Oh, by the way, you're gone, huh? And this is where it gets to the point, like, I know Braun Strowman is going to be the guy that says, you know, I owe WWE everything.
Lifelong
dream.
He already said, greatest time. Like, he only had a very short tweet, but, like,
so
best,
far, yeah.
Best years ever or something like that. Like, he did not expound upon things nearly as much as Aleister Black.
Like I said, unless this was something that was mutually agreed upon.
Oh.
You know? That's the only way around this. That he's like, I have to get some help. They're like, hey, the contract's too big. And he's like, well, I can take a vacation for a while. But I'm sorry, if somebody comes up to me and goes, hey, that contract, like, I, as an adult, I see that Bret Hart thing now where Vince is like, hey, I can't afford you. Whether it's true or not, you know, just taking the surface information.
Oh, right.
I get it. Like, well, you signed it, so why the hell, why should I take less? Now, back then, it's a little different because WWE was not as successful as it is now. Every day, they make more and more money. For a shit product, there's no way around that. And
at least Raw is pretty garbagey most of the time. I still like SmackDown for the most part.
I just don't know. All right, real quick on the Raw thing. Why did they give Bobby Lashley this entourage of women when we all know he's married?
I don't know. I don't really care.
It's just weird to me because when he won the title, he was the killer. And maybe this will be the downfall. So maybe I should stop until I see how the story plays out. But it just struck me as weird, especially when they had the same women. Because he had like the same harem 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, right.
I was like, what kind of player has the same women 2 weeks in a row?
Well, I thought some of them, I didn't completely pay attention. At least from what I saw online, some of them got switched out, but some of them stayed. I did not pay enough attention either week to really know.
But yeah, like Keith Lee, apparently no one knows what's going on with him.
Oh.
But it's just...
Yeah.
WWE has made... In a year where we are told, like, you lost your job, you had to get another one.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate to work. I didn't have any problems. Of course, it also helps with the work I do. I wasn't going to, but I could have. But you see all of these layoffs, all of these companies supposedly struggling, all these, you know, people that we're not bringing in money, we gotta let people go, can't give raises, can't do this. WWE is richer now than they were before the pandemic started. Think about that. And that's with no live events. None. Whatsoever. Falling ratings. Like, all the things that should matter don't. Because they're in guaranteed deals and they have the right business people to make them money. So, the idea that, like, Ring of Honor didn't fire anybody, Impact didn't fire anybody, AEW signed the people, New Japan didn't let anyone go. And here's WWE at the just go with my terminology here, the end of this pandemic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That they're still laying people off and telling them it's for budget reasons. What do you have planned that's going to spend anywhere near $5 billion, which is actually only one TV deal? And I know budgets don't work in like one big bucket, but goddamn, the money comes from one big bucket. So,
yeah, it's, I don't know, it's weird. I think the fact that all of these releases have been stretched out for this long is one of those things that's kind of interesting to me. Because normally you just kind of get the bloodbath and it's over in about a week. When was the first... Like, I'm trying to think of when the first set of releases happened.
A little bit after WrestleMania. I think the week after, right? That's usually the first one. It's always the beginning of May. So, yeah, a little bit after.
So, yeah, that's what's kind of interesting to me. Like, I guess... That gives me more pause than anything. Well, as a wrestler would give me more pause, like, to wonder when it's going to stop. Like, to just have these slow cuts going on is, to me, more scary than anything else.
Yeah.
Because
I guarantee you it's not done. NXT has got so many people down there. Some of those have got to go, too.
Well, that whole thing doesn't... They still do a better job of actually utilizing people.
Oh, dude, there's like 150 people down there or something. I'm sorry, I should back off. Not NXT, the Performance Center. Okay, which also is part of NXT. So
maybe there's
a lot of people down there.
Maybe they're okay with that talent. I don't know.
Yeah, price wise, I'm guessing they're pretty cheap, right?
Yeah, it could be one of those things where they're okay with the price, and this is another one where I'm not sure that I saw ages on all of these people necessarily. Um, Riot's 30. Yeah, Strowman's 37. Like, but we've seen so many people wrestle late in their lives at this point, like, and especially the way Braun is gonna wrestle, like, I think he can age into his gimmick pretty well, especially since the dude, he really trimmed down a lot recently.
Oh God, yes. Yeah, like a healthy trim down.
Yeah.
Hopefully healthy.
Yeah,
So.
he's you're never gonna take away that 6'8" or whatever he is.
Yeah, I don't know. He's tall.
Yeah, extremely tall.
Yeah.
But I guess I was gonna say that a lot of these people are a little bit later, a little bit older. But I mean, all their roster's kind of old. Well, but I guess I was thinking in comparison to the people at the Performance Center, I would imagine that they're in their 20s still. And I don't know, like, well, yeah, Strowman's the only one that you could make a star argument for in this group, though.
Oh, yeah, there's no way around that one.
Like, I don't know if they're hoping to maybe hit with someone else with some of these cuts, but like, I guess I don't have the faith in them to put forward a quality creative effort to make someone pop.
No, oh goddamn, there's
You know.
unless like the audience of one gets behind somebody, there is no chance, dude. There's no chance that there's going to be a big star again. So, not with the creative, not with what you laid out. There's no chance in hell there's ever going to be a gigantic star for them again. Not that the talent's not there for it, they just won't allow it. Plain and simple. So. I.
You are more down than I am about the situation.
Yeah, no, I really am. And it's like I said, man, I don't give a damn about Raw. I watched SmackDown Saturday morning by the YouTube highlights. I honestly cannot say any time in my life that I've been this down on WWE. Like, even when I kind of lost touch, with the school, whatever else, just kind of lost touch with it. I was still looking in. I don't even care. It's just like, whatever. I mean, and part of me, and I don't want to sound mopey or like this, but I'm gonna say it like this. Why the hell should I keep getting behind wrestlers I like when they just get shit on? And in this case, Braun got fucking fired. So you know how big I was on Braun Strowman. And
Yeah.
then just loss after loss, doofus angle after doofus angle. And then Keith Lee comes in. And I'm talking Raw, not NXT. That's totally different.
Oh,
I watch that
right.
every week and enjoy it. Some weeks are better than others. Now that happens. Some episodes of shows are better than others, But I'm tired of getting behind the guys I like only to have this dumbass company totally mess it up. I mean, totally mess it up.
Yeah,
It's taxing.
it's definitely easy to like YouTube highlights have become a staple for me.
Yeah.
Just because I don't want to sit through that much. Like 3 hours is just a lot of programming.
Yes. Oh, it's way too long. It's still way too long.
Yeah, like I mean, I never went mad writing about it, but I am so glad that I don't do that. Like I know I've said that probably last year sometime, but too, but I am so glad I stopped doing that column. Like it's, yeah.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
You know,
and that's honestly like why some of the writing just went down. Like the writing disappeared from the site because the hell are you supposed to say? Like,
well,
it's
a,
like looking for positivity in a giant turd, man. Well, at least there's not blood in it. Like, okay, it's still shit. It's a taxing item, and maybe that's my personality. Maybe, you know, maybe that's on me. To where I should be looking for the more positives and things, you know? But, like I was saying, dude, it makes it very hard to care when, like, the people who run the thing don't. And it's very clear that they don't care about the individual, like, wrestlers. Plans change on a dime. Days show, they're still writing stuff. I mean, that's embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, like, I know it's just been kind of funny because the wife has gotten kind of crazy about looking at, and I know we've talked about it a little bit, soap opera storylines coming up. Like, she's kind of fired up about this stuff, and it definitely has a similar feel to wrestling. As far as, you know, the fan base and everything kind of having some sway over the storylines because they do change fairly frequently in that the writers are typically, you know, paying attention to reactions more than I would say most shows, you know, they just kind of have a procedural written. And that's what you're going to get, you know? Like, they don't really play into the fan base at all. Yeah. But as soap operas do that, and it still is wild that the WWE definitely gets reactions online. But as far as we can tell, they don't listen. They still don't listen to the fans terribly much.
No. And that's why we talk about this all the time. That's why I get so annoyed when these wrestlers are talking about, well, Vince, you know, he doesn't always give the fans what they want until they want it. When's the last time they gave us anything we wanted? What, are you Kofi Mania? I'm being dead serious.
Probably.
And truth be told, apparently he didn't want Kofi. He didn't want Kofi Mania. Daniel Bryan's the one that had to hurry up and, like, go, hey. Listen, like, this is fine. The crowd wants us. Let's do this.
Oh.
Or it would have never happened. So, the idea that Vince listens to his fans is obnoxiously bad. I know, like, you know, not there, whatever else. But let's just stop this nonsense.
Well, when you tout your social media numbers as much as you do, you know what fan reaction is.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of, they can play dumb that, you know, they didn't have any fans, but they knew damn well what the reaction was.
Yeah. And I think a more telling sign of this, though, is like the Thunderdome. They're telling people who to cheer for. Wait, what?
Oh.
No. Well, I mean, I know they're just basically like a, you know, an audience coordinator at this point. But that's ridiculous, right? Like, no, I'm gonna cheer for who I want to cheer for.
Well,
that doesn't make any sense. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? You go to a WWE event, you cheer for your favorites? Isn't that the bullshit they always tell us?
Well, that to me makes even less sense because it's not like you're even plugged into the sound.
Right, but you have to be on that screen, you know, overreacting to stuff. Except for those rebels who don't, and they're hilarious on screen. Like, the people who are just sitting there like, boo, those people crack me up. So...
I guess it doesn't crack. Like, I get that they're going against the WWE's wishes, but then I'm just staring at someone doing nothing. Of course.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, I'm doing that most of the time anyway. at a WWE event.
Yeah, well, I'm also staring at a bunch of nothing while watching wrestling, too, because nothing's happening. There's long matches for the sake of being long. That's all they are. So, I don't know.
Well, I'm not that bummed about the matches. The matches are still as good or better as they've ever been.
I don't mind the matches. They're good. But how many weeks in a row are we getting Kofi and Drew?
Well, I think it ended this week.
Well, let's hope. You know, like, not hope, but yeah, for our sake, let's not do that again. And I will say, Kofi's promo Monday was fucking awesome. I even texted you.
Oh.
Like, Kofi's game has gone. I mean, where was that? So, like, and I know that the New Day was like, well, we don't want to be like the angry guys, blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, you know what? There's actually a good time for that. So when he won the title, he was still acting like himself. Like, all right, well, I guess it's fine, but as champ, I guess some things should change a little bit, but
I think Kofi's been in some ways underrated in his promo game, and I think Monday's promo is just one of those ones that kind of because he has taken a more serious tone, honestly, ever since Kofi Mania.
Nah, I would say all the time, though, because there's still plenty of New Day shenanigans that they get into, you know?
Yeah.
They still do the same goofy shit.
But when they've been down to brass tacks for any of their promos, to me, Kofi's delivered, but that one still was the best of the best, probably.
Yeah. I was really impressed, and I it goes back to how they don't listen to fans. Like, that promo by Kofi was great, and he still has never gotten his rematch for the world title. So, it's like, They everyone wanted Kofi Mania, and it was probably just part of, you know, the moment. Everyone's rooting for Kofi. He wins the title, and I was at Clash of Champions here when Orton lost again, and the crowd wasn't happy. It was like, all right, we're done with Kofi already. But I think part of that was just how it was used, and it was like the 57th match between him and Randy Orton, so that sure shit didn't help things. But so it's like, I guess maybe I'm backtracking a little. Like, sometimes the fans say what they want, they get it in like the slightest case, and then go, okay, we're done. Like, is it just a power play? You know what I mean? Like, yep, we're doing this.
So you're saying that the fans always go back on who they're rooting for?
Well, it seems like they go back on what they wanted. Like, they wanted Kofi to win. He won, and then they're like, okay, now what? Well, he's supposed to stay champion. You're supposed to keep cheering for him. Until, like, not reason, but whatever.
I guess I didn't think that they pooped on him that badly.
It was telling at Clash of Champions, to be honest. I've never gone back and watched that match on pay-per-view. But, the actual TV. And I never went back and watched, but it was noticeable. Randy came out, it was a loud cheer. When Kofi came out, it was a mix. And then he won, and it was just like a groan, like, oh, really? So, I don't know. That's so long ago now. But it was also the same event where Luke Harper came back and the place went fucking bananas. Once everyone realized who it was, they were legit going nuts. It was loud in there. And that did not come across on TV. So, you know, maybe that was it. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, oh, maybe that was the whole thing. They were just... whatever. Water under the bridge at this point, but Or maybe if WWE actually just listened to All the Time, they wouldn't turn on stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that is something of a fine line that they need to walk, honestly. Like, there is giving in to the fans too frequently because fans can be fickle, but they also don't have strong enough writing in any type of direction.
Right. Oh, no, God, no. God, no.
You know, the only kind of fun long-term thing currently going is Roman Reigns and the Usos. You know, outside of that, I'm not sure, because a lot of their other long-term booking has just gone sideways at some point or another.
Like Aleister Black attacking Big E, and oh, never mind.
That wasn't even long-term booking. That was short-term booking.
Dude, they filmed, like, a ton of vignettes. And, like, they had, there's still a plenty of vignettes for Aleister Black that never aired. They had a long-term plan for him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, well, time to get rid of him. What? We just wasted all this production money. Be dead serious. I mean, that's money. But whatever.
That was the weird, to me, almost the weirder cut, just because they had put so much time in. And I do remember the 1 week, was it the retro week that Black didn't get a segment? But I remember, you know, reading that they had had one for that week ready, but they had to use up too much time for Fox's throwbacks.
Well, to me, it seems that if you have it ready to go, all of a sudden you pull it and he's fired on Wednesday.
Well, no, this was like 3 weeks ago or something.
Yeah, I was going to say today, but that wasn't last week, was it?
No.
That's right. Never mind.
No.
But he was pulled from SmackDown. Like, he cost Big E the title. They were supposed to have a follow-up. They pulled it.
Oh.
So, to me, that seems like there was something. They knew something was up. So, whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, and I guess this goes back to, like, the writing part. So, like, we can talk about stuff till we're blue in the face. We can make every single show about this, and it's not going to change a thing, because they don't care. When you got billions of dollars stuffed out of your fucking ears, nose, eyes, and asshole. Like, oh, really? You want us to listen to you? Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, can I buy another gold-plated cheese bowl? Yeah, just throw the other one away. Like, okay, they don't care.
Oh, no. Us not going to WrestleMania isn't going to matter to them.
No. That's going to be the only thing, is if attendance at, especially at WrestleMania, SummerSlam, maybe Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, if that attendance drops, well, you know, that's kind of a wake up, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, there isn't, you know, I don't know what else can be construed as a wake up at this point. You know what I mean? If the ratings didn't get that over to you, you know, what's, to me even, what's a live reaction going to do? Like you said, they've made all that money, or at least banked all that money.
Yeah, that is true too. That's very true.
It's just, yeah, I don't see any real urgency there.
Not until those TV contracts come up. And if you are USA, you're a goddamn idiot if you give them a fraction of the same money. Why would you? If you're Fox. Why would you give them the... Well, Fox's ratings have actually gotten better.
I was going to say, I don't think Fox has the problem at all.
Right. USA's got to have the problem, though. Like, you out of your mind? Like, what?
Yeah.
We paid you how much, and your ratings are... You went from a 3 to a 1.46 this week?
Oh. So, yeah, you lost, I don't know. Didn't look.
More than half your audience.
Yeah, I mean,
Regardless of reasoning, you
yeah.
lost. We bought this for $5 when it was worth 100, and that 100 quickly turned into $25. Like, wait, what? So, yeah, just I don't know. Yeah, I'm just down on WWE in general, man. I like NXT, and I still that's why I mentioned that like that. I mean, NXT is not perfect. AEW is not perfect. But you know what? I'll take imperfect over awful. So, anyways.
Yeah, I mean, I think we may as well wrap it up. I mean, I was thinking about
Yeah.
maybe talking NXT stuff, but.
Oh, no problem. I love the pairing of Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. They teased they were going to break up, and then Dakota comes and attacks Ember Moon from behind after she was giving Raquel some stiff-ass looking kicks. I loved that segment. Ember is seemingly 37 feet shorter than Raquel is, and she's kicking the shit out of her. And then also Dakota Kai comes in, beats the hell out of her, and Regal's like lost all control. I was like, this is chaos. And I think even Wade Barrett said, this doesn't happen. Because Adam Cole, which I'm so dumb, I never even once considered he would interfere in that match.
It was easy to forget about Adam Cole.
They did kind of push him off to the side. Yes.
Yeah, like he had that interview, it was poolside or whatever the hell it was,
Yeah.
the week after that match. And it's been radio silent since then. I said it to Shahid when we recorded, and I'll say it to you. Like, as soon as I saw, like, I didn't start watching NXT live and jumped in at the halfway point. But I did see people mentioning that that triple threat was going to lead this show, and that definitely gave me some pause. I'm like, there's a reason that this is on first. And yeah, the Adam Cole interference is why it was on first.
Didn't even occur to me. I
I
figured they were going to have it, and it would set up for the end of the show. That's honestly what I thought was going to happen. Didn't even
oh.
occur to me Adam Cole would come in, but it's exactly what he'd do. Okay, so then fast forward. This is where it got confusing to me. He's a bad guy. I know he's always gotten cheered, but he's like over the top bad right now. So he calls out Karrion Kross, who I believe was a bad guy, right? I don't know anymore. I don't know who the hell the bad guy is because the legit crowd was cheering for Adam Cole. I'm like, wait a minute. This guy's done nothing to redeem himself. Like, what? And then he eviscerates Karrion Kross, who, when acting normal, comes right back. And he's like, oh, you just keep talking. I'm gonna rip your head off. Like, wait, what the hell's going on? Then Regal smartly interrupts and goes, no, I know what you're doing here. You're not getting a championship match. Although he did. Not the way he wanted, but
Yeah.
that's why I texted you like, we gotta talk about this. I was totally lost. Like, wait, why am I cheering for either one of these guys?
They have really embraced the tweener on SmackDown, or not on SmackDown, on NXT. And it's not for the best because it is confusing. Like, because Karrion Kross comes back and becomes, well, it seems like he's the heel, but then he takes on Santos Escobar to start with. And you're like, well, no, Santos Escobar is definitely a bad guy, so I guess Karrion Kross is the good guy? Like, Cross has been confusing since he's returned. Honestly. And Adam, they're putting Adam Cole in that, oh my god. Holy shit. Oh my, the Montreal-Winnipeg game, the Montreal player just put in an empty net goal and got leveled.
I've turned it off.
Oh my gosh.
3-1, so. Yeah. But, no, I'll let you recover.
Yowzers.
Yeah, I guess he did get crushed. But, Karrion Kross, when he comes back, he's like, I never got beat. Yeah, that makes sense. And then he beats Finn Balor clean. Anyway, who did he... Yeah, he defeated Finn Balor to win the title. Clean. Defeated Finn Balor again. Clean. Like, convincingly. So it's like, how do you boo this guy? Right? And then... like, he comes out and... He keeps changing his look. Like, the character doesn't make sense right now. That's the problem. Ooh. They just showed that hit. Oh, it's the head on the ice is what did it. Or was he out before?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, someone's probably getting suspended for that one.
Yeah, that was an ugly hit.
Anyways, but no, the Karrion Kross character after coming back has been weird.
Yeah.
He fights fights Santos Escobar for some reason. They never really told us why. He just decided to pick on him. And I'm hoping that's because they wanted Santos to work with a bigger guy, and he showed he belongs, and he shouldn't be in NXT anymore, but whatever. I don't even want to go there. But then he does the Finn stuff, and he came out dressed like a gladiator, and then... Scarlett's dressed like the weird witch priestess thing. I'm like, what's going on with this gimmick? Because he talks about like his judo or speed, like this and this and this. Like, wait, I thought you were like the devil guy or voodoo or whatever the hell your girlfriend's doing. I'm like, wait, what's going on here? But he's just better as a fighter. His promos are better too.
NXT has not been great recently. Like that whole tweet, like, is amusing as the Adam Cole stuff was, it also is like one of those promos where it's just like, why are you doing this on TV? Like, even if people have said that on the internet, why is that getting said out loud? Like, it's one of those, the Miz has been a message sender recently on the main roster. I'm trying to think of who else has traditionally done it over the years, where it's just like, oh, okay, well, yeah, we want to see how you react to this. You know, and it's just... Yeah, I don't understand why Adam Cole was in that role.
Adam Cole needed to be a babyface, and he was, so that people could cheer him. And then they wanted to split the Undisputed Era up for some reason. So he's naturally going to be the bad guy because, I mean, I say this all the time. How a guy that is so nice in person, when you meet him at a meet and greet, can be that much of a slimeball dickhead on TV is incredible. Just like Britt Baker. That's the perfect couple. I just thought of this. Britt Baker, in all of her interviews out of character, comes off as this ridiculously sweet woman.
Right.
And then, obviously pretty smart. She's a dentist. And then her character fucking sucks. Like, I know she's kind of a weird tweener, good guy, like, or good girl, bad girl right now. But like, she's got like the Becky Lynch thing going to me. So you've got this power couple of like two, like not Two-Face, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, they the present differently.
So, but yeah, so he had to be the bad guy, and now he's the tweener because people still do not want to boo him. Because Kyle O'Reilly is kind of a nerd, right? So,
I guess I don't have any problems with Kyle O'Reilly.
He's kind of a tool, but he was a tool in the Undisputed Era. The guy's playing air guitar with the belt, for God's sake. Somehow that became cool. Remember when Hogan did it? And it was like, you're an asshole. Like, you old man.
Well, but yeah, you just said it.
Yeah, that's true.
He was old at that point and trying to do that shit. That, and he never got into it like Kyle O'Reilly did. He never leaned into it the way that... Kyle looked like he was in an air guitar championship mode. And yeah. Hogan half-assed everything he's ever done. So, yeah. I'm not surprised that, yeah, there's different reactions. Even without knowing the things that we know now. I'm sorry, Hogan just half-assed it.
Well, yeah, but that was also his thing he was doing too. So I was like, all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, but no, NXT, like, I can't believe I'm going to say this, because it hurts. I do not like this Ted DiBiase, Cameron Grimes, LA Knight thing. Like, Cameron Grimes is obviously saving it, because he's awesome. Ted is the older Million Dollar Man character, which has never quite been explained, but I thought it was dead on last week where Cameron Grimes says, Ted, all I ever did was look up to you. It's like, I learned so much from you. And I learned that if you have a lot of money, you can treat people like garbage and they'll still love you. I thought that was perfect. And Ted's like, okay. It just didn't really kind of acknowledge, like, well, you're right. Like, and that's kind of the funny thing about Ted DiBiase is, he was never a good guy. In WWE, he was never a good guy. He treated people like shit the whole time. And as he got older, that we appreciate him as a fan. Like, what? But I just don't like it. I don't know. Just either...
You probably don't like it because LA Knight's involved now.
Maybe.
I mean... Yeah, he's one of those guys that if they said bye-bye to him, it would in no way bother me. Like, someone describe that he would have worked better in the 80s or something like that? Like, yeah, I don't know. His style just isn't for me. And the fact that, and I know that a lot of them have done this moving over now, but just the fact that he is just literally a renamed Eli Drake is beyond infuriating to me. And I guess I don't understand, like, I watched the match this week and I'm like, I don't even get the point of what's going on now. Like, it was fun when they had the segments of Ted DiBiase outbidding Cameron Grimes.
Right. Yes.
But this transition to in the ring or in the wrestling realm has not been good.
I don't understand what's going on. And somebody, and I hate to say this. Somebody wrote, Jake Atlas is going to be the Million Dollar Man's protege. I don't feel like talking anymore. That would make absolutely no sense, by the way. So I don't think it's going to happen, but I mean, come on.
That's kind of far removed. I'm not ready. I don't know who made that connection. But I mean, it almost, you need Cameron Grimes to pick up some wins, I guess, in the meantime. Like, if he's trying to impress DiBiase, he needs to pick up some W's, or... And honestly, like, I'm not ready for Eli Drake, L.A. Knight, to be costing Cameron Grimes wins, too, next week.
Yeah. Here's the thing, and this is... I'm glad you brought up the wins thing. This is something NXT is doing, like WWE lately. People keep losing. Like, I know Bronson Reed won. Cool. Finally, right? Cameron Grimes, they're pushing him. Loses. L.A. Knight. Loses. They even had a guy debut after a hype video. Carmelo, God, I forgot his name.
Hayes?
Okay, we'll go with that. That's fine. All this, he's like, I'm gonna do this, loses. The girl that beat Toni Storm loses. Like, I understand that one was the interference, and that was to get the Zoe Stark and Toni Storm. But let's stop this. Like, I thought Triple H had the, and that's his baby, so he's getting the blame for this. I thought he had the wherewithal and the smarts to go, yeah, our guys need to keep winning. But it seems like that's only reserved for the top ones. The mid-card now, and this is not how it's always been, by the way, but the mid-card can, you know, lose, win. No. How the hell do you think you get your upper card? People don't lose. Like, Johnny Gargano losing is a big deal still.
Oh.
You know?
Right.
I'd say, well, Finn Balor obviously losing is a big deal still. Adam Cole losing, yeah. But these are all top guys. So, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why they think this is a good idea, because it's not. You want to make, like, Velveteen Dream, first name that came to mind. Dude won all the time. To the point when he finally lost, it was like, whoa. It was that deflating. Like, wait, what? Where now, if someone loses, you're like, okay, he lost.
Yeah. NXT is still probably more entertaining, but... they have picked up some bad WWE habits of late. Yeah. And
Bronson Reed should not lose in any capacity for at least 3 months. I mean, dead serious. Or two.
Oh.
Well, because SummerSlam's in August, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, well, I didn't know if they were going to change or not. Like, I know they announced it, but no, it's your champions. No non-title matches. Like, go back to the way it was. I mean, I know we had, like, remember those feuds, like Gargano and Ciampa, even Cole and whoever he was fighting, you know? Like, let's get back to that long-term stuff. So we're like, do you remember that Last Man Standing where Gargano lost? And, like, I've never seen someone whiff on a puck before and have it still go in. Wow. But remember the Last Man Standing? Ciampa took his ring off, threw it in the crowd, and like, oh, Johnny's clearly going to beat the shit out of him now. And then he loses. It's like, oh, no. We're not getting those moments anymore. And that's what they need to get back to. Now, maybe it's because of the talent involved as well. But the match quality is not the problem.
Oh.
It's the consistent win-loss booking, that is. Because Eli Drake, LA Knight debuted and lost the second week?
Yeah.
So, what are we doing? Like, I'm waiting for Frankie Monet to lose next week if she wrestles. So.
They've still done a little bit better with the women's division. Yes. And honestly, I would be pretty cool. Was it this week or was it last week that Zoe Stark and Zeta Ramir.
Okay.
They had a tag, or they were a tag team.
Yeah, it was this week.
Okay, yeah.
And they lost. Like, the girl who just had a win against Toni Storm was the one that got pinned.
Oh.
What the fuck are we doing?
But was that against Indy and Candice, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's
but
fine.
But don't put them in that position, though.
But yeah, they should not have been in that position. Like, they seem like they're better. They're early enough in their careers that seems like a better path for them currently.
Yeah. Like, why not have it be Aaliyah and the woman she's with? I don't remember her name.
Jesse Kamea?
That's right, yeah. Well, I guess they're both bad guys, so that's why. But come up with another women jobber team.
Oh, no, that would have worked perfect, though. Because Stark and Ramir are the good guys, so...
Well, no, but I mean...
Have them beat Aaliyah and Kamea.
But to have Indy and Candice beat, you're going to need another... Like, just have a different...
I gotcha.
Yeah. So... I don't know. Like, oh, and by the way, another problem I have with NXT right now. Their best tag team is not on enough. It drives me nuts.
Ever-Eyes has been getting a lot of quality time. What are you talking
about?
But
they're not wrestling, though. I want the full Ever-Eyes entrance. I want the Ever-Eyes rules being yelled. And I'm not kidding. I hated them at first. And then I figured it out. Like, these guys are dorks. And it's awesome. They are tools. And they're really good at being tools. So it just... You know, I always go for the bad guys anyways, and I don't know. There's something corny about it, but in a good way. Like, they have their own talk show, for Christ's sake, on, I think, Saturday mornings. Who the hell's watching it? They have their own coffee cups?
Yeah, those guys just remind me. They just seem like they're in that Zack Ryder, R-Truth. Kind of role where I could see those guys sticking around forever because they just make for good fodder.
Yeah. And they're a heel jobber team, essentially.
Yeah.
But you're always going to take them seriously. For the simple fact, they're entertaining. And then... You know, what if they pull off a win here and there against someone they're not supposed to or someone you don't know? And then Ever-Rise really does rule. So.
I don't think we're ever going to see Ever-Rise really rule.
No, because they don't fit the bill. They don't look the part, which is fine. But, you know, you never know. It's NXT. They can do whatever they want.
Do whatever I want.
Supposedly. So, but yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, those segments with them the last couple of weeks have been killing me.
Yeah. Who did he get slapped by? I don't even know their names, by the way. I just know it's Ever-Rise. So.
Raquel Gonzalez.
That's right. I knew it was a woman. I just couldn't remember who. It's fitting. So, but it'd just be funny if they were like backstage with Shotzi. They were just scared of Shotzi when she does the wolf
the howl.
Just any of that stuff. I mean, it's not everyone has to be super serious. So they're the bad guy doofus duo, where Fandango and Tyler Breeze are the doofus good guys.
Oh, right.
So, but yeah. So, I'm still enjoying NXT far more than anything on WWE. Just hands down. So, I watch it every week. I mean, that should tell you something. Try to watch it live, too. So, I guess we can talk about AEW some other day when they come back to the land of the living. That's rough for them, man. They were getting good ratings. They got shifted to Friday till July.
Yeah, as good as SmackDown does in the demographic as far as watches go, because, I mean, I even know that my in-laws have stumbled across it and watched it because, well, it's on Fox, and they're going to find it. So there really is something to being on network TV. Yeah. Not only, I mean, it was bad when a movie that was featured prominently on How Did This Get Made is bumping you to the 10 p.m. spot. Geostorm is a f well, actually, I haven't actually watched it, but at best, it's an entertainingly bad movie. And it did not seem like it was entertainingly bad. It just seemed like it was bad when I was listening to that podcast.
Geostorm. Is that the one with oh fuck, what's his name?
Oh, I don't know. Like I said, I didn't
No.
watch it.
Gerard Butler. That's not that one, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Because there's another like satellite blah 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 global warming movie.
Oh, it is
So
Gerard Butler.
okay, I have not seen that. My mom saw that in the theater. She loves disaster movies. And I went, "You went and saw that piece of shit?" Like, wait. I go, "You're the reason dumb bad movies like that get made." She goes, "Yeah, it wasn't good." I was like, "No shit." But my mom also watches like the disaster movies on Sci-Fi, and that like the really bad graphics. They're all in like one like set the whole time.
Oh,
So
yeah, I'm not going to give her a hard time about that since I have a bad habit of watching the Sharknadoes of the world. So I love their dumb monster movies.
man,
But they
they're
really
so
haven't
bad
done one of
though.
those in a while, though.
Now production shut down. Like we watched one Santa Jaws. It was literally a shark with a Santa Claus hat and beard. Yeah.
Oh, that
And
is
I'm like, can we put
fantastic.
the Christmas Story back on? Like, I know I've seen it a bazillion times, but it's better than this dog shit. And then there was ice sharks. No. Or was it Hurra sharks or something? Isocane?
Oh.
Basically, they're on a mountain where there's a hurricane of ice. And I'm like, oh my God, just stop. And the thing is, and here's the thing is, and I know we got to wrap up. So here's the thing about these new disaster movies that are like sci-fi and whatever else, right? You are never getting titties. Every disaster movie ever made from the 50, probably 60s all the way to the early 90s, you were guaranteed someone showing tits in that movie. So as a kid, you knew this, and what did you do? You learned the timestamps. All right, I know when this chick gets naked. All that's gone now. There's no point in watching them. And yes, I know the internet changes a lot of things, but it's not like they're good. So for the random straight male or lesbian woman, you're watching this awful movie and a set of really awesome titties pop by. Wouldn't that make the movie a little bit better for you? Now let's leave off on that.
That is at Granny Mae's, at DeFrango11's Bell Time Beer of the Show. Today, Hop Valley Brewing Bubble Stash IPA. Gotta admit, not the biggest fan of the, what are they called? Sparkling IPAs. It was okay, and I'm trying to
What the
figure out.
fuck is a sparkling IPA?
It's kind of made like a champagne.
I always thought those were sparkling saisons. Oh, I had never heard of that.
Well, I have had a saison version too,
Okay,
I
that explains
believe,
that.
but I've also had a couple, but yeah, not the biggest fan either way. And I don't know where I must have gotten this from my brother-in-law because it's from Eugene, Oregon. So evidently, yeah, if you're out in that Oregon area, I'm going to assume that Hop Valley's other beers are maybe a little bit better. Or maybe you like this type of thing. If you do, have at it, man. Not going to give this one a great rating. Probably not going to tag it when I retweet this.
yeah, that's honest though. It's better than going down. No, it's not. So.
Yep, that's it from at DeFrango11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And download us at any number of spots, whether it's Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or your other local podcast carrier. Have a good night, grandkids.